So let's look at the Bible just for a few moments. When I think about this man, Paul, and everything that he had gone through, his on the road to Damascus, his salvation experience, what God did in this man was real. It gave him a purpose. I get real weary of folks that don't have a purpose or who have lost their purpose. I want to keep my purpose. We make light of the thing about being 65. I feel great. This morning I got up and I walked all the way to the refrigerator. It was good exercise. I feel great. And God's been good to me. My wife is healthy, and we've been married 41 years, and those 41 years have been wonderful 41 years together. In all those years, we've never brought up divorce or separation. I think on four occasions, I think she's mentioned murder, but not anything else other than that, you know. But here we are, and we have two boys who are in ministry, and their wives love them, and they're married. We have six grandchildren, and another one on the way, and God has given us a purpose. I put in my Bible a long time ago, Toby, never drift from your mission. Don't drift from your mission. I must not drift from my mission. And this is a wonderful church. This church has a warm, Christ-like, loving spirit. It's obvious that you love each other. And you love your preacher. Yeah, and folks are drawn to this church. And you don't want to lose that. And this church will be just as strong as you want it to be. And people need the Lord in Jupiter, Florida, and they need a lighthouse. That they need a place where they can come and walk in, and folks with a sense of purpose. Paul had a great purpose, but Paul is no different from you and me. Other than he made sure of his purpose. When I was growing up in Lynchburg, Virginia, I was a bus kid at Thomas Road Baptist Church way back in the early 60s. And my brother and I would go to church, and we were sort of hooligans and mean as snakes, and we just rode the bus because it had food at church, to be honest with you. We'd go in the front door and grab all the grub and go out the back door and play ball. And I don't remember any preaching at all, but I do remember them singing in there. My brother and I were just kind of connivers, you know, and just kind of get what we could get. And we just were just boys from a broken home, and Daddy was doing the best he could to raise us, but he had a handful of my little brother and me. But I remember them singing in that church house. I can still hear them singing, "This is the purpose of life eternal, that we might know the Lord." I remember those words. That arrested my attention. I can still hear them singing way back in the late 50s and early 60s, way before I got saved. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. The fields are white and the laborers are few. I remember them singing that. I don't remember any preaching because my brother and I were too stupid to go in there and listen to it, too much to running around and breaking in deacons' cars and stealing their cigarettes and stuff and having a great time, you see. This man, Paul, but Oliver B. Green came to preach at our church. Oliver B. Green, the old leather-lunged evangelist from Greenville, South Carolina, came to preach at our church, and I got saved that night. I mean, I really got saved. And God gave me a purpose. And then he gave me a call. Then he gave me a wife and then children and a ministry and a purpose. And like I said, Rita and I have been married 41 years, but I promise you, I hope God gives us another 41. I really do. And I want to keep on going. And it isn't hype. It isn't, oh, you just have one of those kind of spirits. I really don't, man. I'm just like you. I can't wait to get out and go eat, you know. I'm just like, just cornbread and beans. That's all I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I know it. But God has given me a purpose, and God has given all of us who are saved a purpose. We must find it and do it. And Paul and Timothy, boy, he had. I enjoy being around like guys like Daniel. Rita and I took Daniel and his girlfriend out on a double date. He kept trying to kiss her, but I wouldn't let him. I'm just kidding. Okay. We took them out on a double date, and you're way over your head on that one, son. You've done good. But I enjoy being around young men like that. And the young man, Kevin, that stood up here a while ago, these guys have purposes. And these young ladies have a purpose. And we laugh about it, but they do want to marry a preacher. I mean, I think of Laura there, surrendered to go to the mission field, anywhere God wants her to go. And those of us who are parents, when our children were born, I remember old Todd was born. Both of our boys were adopted at birth. We adopted them both. We got them on eBay. They were both adopted at birth, and I remember giving them to the Lord. And when they turned 18, they wanted to go off to Bible college. I wasn't too excited about that. Bible college was a long way away. And that meant I had to cut the grass, take out the garbage and all that other stuff, all that other slop. But God gave our children to us. They're a gift from God. They're on loan. They're a gift from God, and God expects you and me to raise them with a purpose. And when God reveals his purpose in their lives, to let them do God's purpose. You see, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. It amazes me how many parents, I ain't letting my kid go all the way out there to California. Well, I hope God calls your son to Siberia. I hope God calls your daughter to China. We're lunkheads. We're selfish Christians. And loving people and telling people about the Lord, getting gospel tracts and telling people about the Lord, having a purpose. If you got a class, renew your purpose tonight. If you're in the choir, renew your purpose. If you used to be in the choir, don't be a used to. I'm going to start a Baptist church one of these days. I'm going to call it the Used to Baptist Church. We're going to fill it up in a hurry. I used to be in a choir. I used to work in the nursery. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to go soul winning. I used to go visiting. Get back on that horse and ride that horse again. Get back in the fray. You were happier when you had a purpose. You were more joyful when you had a purpose. Yeah, but somebody hurt my feelings. Welcome to life. Yeah, but somebody, I got disappointed. Well, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry you got disappointed. I'm sorry you got hurt. But there's not a person in this room who hasn't been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's been wounded. But we just sit around licking our wounds, and looking at our scars, rather than getting up and getting back in the game and having a purpose. Have a purpose. That's what Paul had. That's what motivated him. What will motivate you and me to serve the Lord with joy and gladness? A purpose. A purpose. Well, we got choir practice. I can't believe it. Why you got to have choir practice? Because I've heard a few choirs sing that didn't. It's atrocious. What are y'all trying to do? You know? Yeah, you got to practice. Well, just a purpose. A purpose will motivate you and me. A purpose will keep my priorities straight. You know why I don't look at pornography? It'll mess up my purpose. You know why I don't go on the internet and dink around on the internet? It'll mess up my purpose. It'll get me off track from my purpose. You know why I don't watch things that I shouldn't watch and listen to jokes I shouldn't listen to and participate in stuff I shouldn't participate in? Because I'm a great Christian? No. I'm not a great Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't think I'm a great Christian. But I want to be. And if God wants me to be, I'll do the best I can. That's all. But I know I'll get sidetracked if I listen to a dirty joke at work. Or if I'll allow the wrong kind of music. Or if I look at the wrong kind of images on a computer, a television, a movie screen, or whatever. I'll get away from my purpose. Is everybody with me so far? Everybody with me so far? Okay, then what'll keep you pure, brother? Your purpose. I don't want to hurt my wife. If my wife walked in the den of our house and she caught me at 2:00 in the morning looking at something on a computer that I shouldn't be watching, she would forgive me because she's got that kind of discipline and character. But I don't know if she'd ever recover ever. So I better stick with my purpose. I just better stick with my purpose. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love our children. I'm going to love my church. I'm going to love my preacher. I'm going to pull for my preacher. I'm going to defend my preacher. I'm going to work hard. The purpose. Well, what motivates you? What stirs you up? The purpose. The purpose. What gets you up to hop in that van and drive from Tampa all the way down here? And we made it in 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. What does that? My purpose. What gets you excited about the new school year? My purpose. My purpose. It keeps me straight. My purpose will help me develop all of my potential. Well, growing up, I still stutter every once in a while. Growing up, I had a horrible stuttering problem. And mama left my daddy, and boy, we just had it awful bad at the house, just awful bad. And daddy did the best he could, but my sixth grade year, I just didn't go. I was embarrassed to go to school, so I just didn't go. I lied to Daddy every day, and we never had a car. We never had a telephone. We never had any of that stuff. And so I didn't go. So when you don't go, you fail. So I had to repeat, the sixth grade. Then the seventh grade, my teacher made me mad, and I threatened to kill him. I just said, I'm going to kill you. Well, when you do that, they kick you out of school. So I had to repeat the seventh grade. By the time I was in the ninth grade, I was dating my teachers, man. I mean, it's incredible, man. I was shaving in the eighth grade. It was amazing, you know. I was just an old dude. And then bus workers came along, a preacher who loved me, and began to help me, and finally got saved, and took me off to Tennessee Temple College back in the day. And boy, I found a purpose. I found a purpose. And I don't know what kind of potential I've got. Don't even care. That's up to the Lord. But I know this. If I keep my purpose, God will help me develop whatever potential I do have. And I want to say very quickly, a purpose will give me power to live in the present. I don't know if we got tomorrow. We may not. Rapture may take place, right? Lord may take us home. I don't know if we have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. It's all gone. But we got today. We've got today. And I want to make today a spiritual masterpiece. How about tomorrow when you go to work? Tomorrow we're gonna talk about the meeting. We'll be in the van. We'll laugh about that Filipino thing, you know. And it's the first guy that has looked at Jensen in 4 years, so it's a blessing there. I'm just kidding. I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings by that, you know. But we'll laugh about that. We'll talk about fellowshipping with the pastor, and we'll talk about Andy. Andy found him a wife. About time, you're 48 years old, man. Good night, Andy. And we'll laugh about that. And some of you will go to work tomorrow. You're going to go to work, and you're not going to be there 10 minutes before you're going to hear God's name taken in vain. You're not going to be there 15 minutes before you start hearing people talk about their dirty escapades of the weekend, using horrible language and dirty words and all of that. You're going to be susceptible to all that tomorrow. You really need a purpose. You're not going to make it without a purpose. And it isn't, okay, I'm going to get myself psyched up. Okay, I got a purpose. It's not that at all. I read one of those self-help books one time. It said, you don't need as much sleep as you think you do. I said, that's right. It said, what you need about 2 hours sleep a night. You can get much more done. You can go on adrenaline. You can do it. And I said, that's right. I'm going to do it. And so it said, go to bed about 1 a.m, get up about 3 or 4. You can do it. And I said, I'm going to do it. Well, I read that book. It's full of baloney, but I read that book. And the first night, man, I worked and worked. I was going on adrenaline. Got a lot done. 4 o'clock in the morning came up. I got up. I ran 2 or 3 miles. I came back, got cleaned up, went to work, read my Bibles, prayed, and then hustled around. I did that for about 3 days in a row. And on the fourth day, the alarm went off at 4 o'clock in the morning. I sat straight up in bed, and I said, forget it. It isn't our power. It's His power. It's God flowing through you and me. We're just the conduits. We're just the conduit. We're just the pipe that the Holy Spirit's oil can flow through. And the Holy Spirit can flow through a clean pipe better than He can flow through a pipe that's clogged, you see. And God will help us keep the pipe, the conduit, clean and clear and pure as we think about, this is His purpose for my life. This is His purpose for telling people about the Lord and moving forward. And then one final thought, and we'll pray. A purpose helps me evaluate my progress. My progress. I want to keep progressing for the Lord. I want to keep progressing for the Lord. I want to find young people, young men in particular, just like Kevin that stood up here. Man, that just touched my heart, that boy down there in Miami, helping Brother Tommy Odom. I know Tommy Odom. He's a good preacher. He's a good young man. And his wife is from the church that I pastored in Michigan. And so it's sort of I quickly associated with him. And I'm going to be praying for that young man and for that situation. I want part of his purpose to be part of my purpose. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. Your hurt should be our hurt. Your burden should be our burden. Well, I got more burdens than you got. That may be true. But as long as we're doing that, we're drifting from our mission and our purpose. We're wavering. And I would just admonish you tonight through God's word, as Paul said, that we may approve things that are excellent. It's excellent to keep a purpose in our hearts and minds. People need the Lord. Jupiter needs the Lord. And you and I are here as God's conduit to reach them. I hope and pray that you and I will never, 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 no matter what takes place, we'll have some setbacks. There may be a heartache, a heartbreak, a disappointment. There could be sickness. There could be a divorce. There could be whatever. But we'll ask God. The just man rises 7 times. We'll get up. We'll brush ourselves off. And we'll say, Lord, you're still in control. You make no mistakes. I am not going to waver from my purpose. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. And he said, this one thing I do. I pray that you and I will do that one thing. Let's bow our heads. Pastor, if you'd come, please.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings tonight. We thank you for the group from West Coast. And I pray that you would bless them for their blessing us. I pray that you would give them safety as they travel from here. Give them success in their ministry as they attain to the purpose that you have for them. I pray also that you would help us to be mindful, as we were reminded tonight, of our purpose to serve you. Help us to go in that purpose tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.